we're on Kuf Yud Gimel, and I'm pretty sure we got up to the first Mishnah. There are two Mishnahs here.
I don't think we did the first Mishnah. I think we just got up to Tehillim.
So we'll start with the first of the two Mishnahs. Hamale es ha'of im ha'gvina al ha'shulchan eino over belosase. In other words, even though we had an Issa d'Rabbanan of Halah, you're not allowed to put Oph and Gvin on the same Shulchan if you're eating from that Shulchan. But nevertheless, that's only an Issa d'Rabbanan, but he doesn't violate a Losas. Because the Torah says, Losavashal Gedim Machalei Vimo. He didn't cook them together. He just put them on the same table. Maybe what the Mishnah wants to point out here is that the Rabbanan didn't make it into a full-fledged Iser. It's only a Gzera. You're not allowed to do it. But it doesn't violate a Losas. He has a background information here. He says the Iser of Halas Basar Ugvin al Shulchanecha is only Gzera Drabbanim because he might come to eat them together and then violate the Iser of Basar B'chol of Doraisa. And therefore, the Rabbanan said, you're not allowed to put the basar of and the gvina on one table. Now, later on, the Mishnah is going to record a machlok shin chachamim and Rabbi Akiva about basar of, whether basar of is midaraisa or not. If we assume that the iser basar of is doraisa, then the reason for the gzera is clearly that he might come to violate that Iser Doraisa. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva that the Iser Basar Of is only the Rabbanon, and this looks therefore like a gzera l'gzera, the Rabbanon are afraid that he might eat them together, but even if he, in the worst case scenario, he eats them together, it's only Of, so he doesn't violate the Doraisa. But I guess we're afraid that if we allow him to put Of on the same table with Kavina, then he's going to come to eat Basa Behema with Kavina. And that's something that we discussed way back on Daf Kuf Dalet. Now here in the footnote, he quotes a kash from the Zera Yitzchak.
The Mishnah below, of course, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, etc., about Abisar Oph being Rabbanan.
Yeah.
Next mission.
He has a kash here from the Zera Yitzchak. He says that if the Iser of Allah is only Drabbanon, why does the Mishnah have to give me this chiddush that he doesn't violate a losaseh? This is not even shaykh to a doraisa. I mean, there's no relationship here to any sort of an Iser doraisa that the Mishnah should have to tell me that he doesn't violate a losaseh. I mean, what losaseh could he possibly be in violation of that we would have a havamina to that effect? So he says, based on Rashi, that the Mishnah is coming to be Mechadesh, that Ochel Basar Of Ugvina is going to violate a Losasa. Meaning that the Mishnah is setting up a contrast between Halah and Achila, and telling you in this scenario, because you didn't eat it together, you only put it on the same table together, therefore you didn't violate a losasa. But had you eaten them together, you would have violated a losasa. And that's the chiddush of that Mishnah, that even though it's only basar of, nevertheless you would be violating a doraisa if you ate them together, and that's what we're going to see now in the Gemara.
That's wild, isn't it? They have something which is an iser d'rabbana, and then if you eat it, you're violating an iser d'oraisa.
Again, the chiddush is that Oph lends itself to Doraisa. Now there may be other conditions. It's, you know, if you eat it Tzonin, maybe you don't violate, but if you eat it Be'ilfas, the Kli Rishon, then you would violate a Doraisa. But the point is that this Mishnah is coming Lafuki Rabbi Akiva. That's what the Gemara says now. Ha'ochlo, the Mishnah is implying that if he would have eaten this Oph with Gvina, he would violate over Melosase. Shema Mina, Basar Oph Bechol of Doraisa. This means that the Mishnah reflects the opinion of the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara now is going to try to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva. Ema, perhaps, Male Esa Oph Ima Gvina La Shulchan. What the Mishnah really means is to say that if he puts chicken with cheese on the same table, li'olam eino bali de'losas. In other words, there's no possibility, even if he were to forget it and accidentally eat them together, he would not have, there's no shaykhus, there's no possibility of violating losa, because we accept the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, and in the case of Basar Of, there is no violation of a losas. Now, this understanding that we presented is based, it reflects a sheet of Tosfos, which is the last Tosfos on the Amud, that the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva argue as far as Basar Of, whether it's an Isur Torah or an Isur Drabbanan. The Gemara's kasha was that the Mishnah seems to reflect the sheet of the Chacham against Rabbi Akiva. However, there is a sheet of the Rosh. The Rosh holds that even the Chachamim agree that Basar Of is only Drabbanan. And according to the Rosh, it's not shocked that the Gemara thought to bring a proof to one of the two opinions, because both opinions have it that it's only Drabbanan. But rather, the Mishnah, the Gemara wanted to be Maksha from the Mishnah that it doesn't reflect any sheet of the Tanoim. Neither the Chachamim nor Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara answers, no. This Mishnah is only telling you that in the case of Basar Of, there's no possibility of coming to violate an Iser D'Oraisa. But now we'll see the second Mishnah here on the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah now is going to analyze what category of Basar is Asar Min HaTorah to cook with milk, and which category is only Drabbanan. Besar Ema Behema Tahora. Okay, now we're assuming that Behema Tahora is the exclusive case of the Iser Basar B'Cholav, as opposed to Behema Tmeya. I mean, we're going to discuss what's the status of a non-kosher animal if he cooks it with milk. Again, you know, if he eats it, he's violating certainly the Iser Behema Tmeya. But as far as the Lav of Bishul is concerned, the Lav of Bishul only applies to Behema Tahora. Now, I have a note here that the Balia Tosfos are of the opinion that this halacha of Basar Behema includes Basar Chaya V'Of as well. In other words, the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva have a machlokas not only in Din, but also in Drasha, that the Chachamim are of the opinion that Basar Chaya V'Of is awesome in a Torah, because they're going to learn a Drasha like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which is at the end of this Mishnah, that anything that's included in the Iser Nevela is included in the Iser Basar of Bishul B'Cholav. And that includes Chay and Of as well, because the Din of Nevela applies to Chay of the Of. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that Chay of the Of is Mutam in a Torah, he's going to darshan from an extra Pasuk to exclude Chay of the Of. So right now, our Mishnah is holding like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which means that anything included under Nevela is included under the Iser Bishul Basar B'Cholav, which would include even Chay of the Of, because they're also included under Nevela. So therefore, when it says Basar Behema Tahora, it includes even Chay of the Of. B'Chalev Behema Tahora. Now, what is the milk? The milk itself is coming from a kosher species as well. So both the meat and the milk are kosher, and he puts them together and he cooks them and he violates this Iser Lav. Now the Rosh, he has a proof that according to the Rif, there was never a machlokas between Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, and everybody agrees that we have to exclude a Chay of the Ov. The Chachamim say that the Iser Basar B'Cholav applies in Basar Tahora and Dafka Basar Tahora, but not in non-kosher Basar Tmeya. Rabbi Akiva is going to try to interpret from whence do we derive this exclusion of Chayav Yov and Behemoth Me'ah? But even the Chacham agree that Chayav Yov is not an Issa Torah. That's the sheet of the Rif, according to the Rosh. Well, let's go on now in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Asur Levashel, Asur V'Asur Banoah. So if he goes and he violates the Issa Vishal, then he's not allowed to benefit from this Bishal, from this Basur V'Chol. And for sure, it goes without saying that it's Asur V'Achila. Now it's interesting that the Mishnah didn't even bother mentioning the Issa Achila. That was understood. In other words, whenever you say something is also ba'anah, for sure it's also ba'achila, because achila is the greatest anah that you could imagine. He quotes here the footnote, the Prima Gadol, who says that perhaps the Mishnah mentions hanah and bishul as being mutter b'behemah t'meah. He doesn't mention achila, because achila be also b'behemah t'meah in any event, not b'taras possible cholah, but insofar as it's b'behemah t'meah. So he's focused on those specific isurim that are a result of the cooking with milk. Now the Mishnah excludes basa behema tahora b'chalav behema tmeya or basa behema tmeya b'chalav behema tahora. And that's muta levashel muta manah, which means the following. That if one of the two, either the basa or the chalav, is asur, it's tmeya. For example, you could have the milk of a behemoth male, like for example the milk of a swine, right? Or you could have basa behemoth male with chalav behemoth, or you could have camel, you could have cow's milk together with a piece of bacon, and if you cook them, you do not violate the Issa Bishul, you do not violate the Issa Anah. And the implication of the Mishnah at first reading is that there's no Issa whatsoever, not even midrabbana. It says mutar levashel, mutar banah. Of course, as far as the Issa Achila is concerned, that's d'oraisa because of the Issa behemah t'meah, chol behemah t'meah. Now the Gemara is going to try to explain to us, where is the ribui for behemah t'meah? I'm sorry, for behemah tahore. After all, the Torah only mentions gedi. How do we know to expand the scope of the Issa of Bishul Bas Bechola to include not only Gedi, but all Behema Tahora? And then we're going to have to ask, well, if there's some sort of ribui to include all Behemos, Lav Dafki Gedi, how do we know it's only Behemos Tahoros and not Behemos Tmeos? So all this will be clarified in the Gemara. But getting back to our original point, the language of the Mishnah seems to indicate that mutar levashel, mutar banah, even mid rabbanan there's no Iser Bishul and there's no Iser Hanah. Which, by the way, on the side, that would help, you know, students, you know, Orthodox young men who want to study to be chefs, or young women, and they go to chef school, if they assume that the meat is non-kosher meat. Yeah, but that's a little bit difficult. Yeah, how do you know that the meat is not kosher? It certainly is nevela, but there is an Issa basa b'chol v'nevela. Even bishul basa b'chol v'nevela is also. It would have to be a non-kosher species. So I think we're going to have to find another solution to the problem. Do you follow what I mean? Because when you're learning how to be a chef, you have to turn on the fire or put the food on the fire. And if there's milchiks and fleishiks together, then you violate the Issur Bishul Basa B'chol. You might even violate the Issur Hanah, I don't know. In any event, the Rambam seems to indicate in Perek Tes Mimacholos Asuras that in the case of Behemah Tmeah, there's no Issur, even Midrabbanon, of Bishul or Hanah. And the Rambam says that Chayav Yov are not Osur min HaTorah, and that's Rabbi Akiva, even with regard to achila. So it means that you can on a doraisa level, you can eat basar oaf that was cooked with cholov. However, he says the following. He says, "Heichon shelo asra Torah achila lo gazru chacham bishul ba'anah." He says, if the Torah doesn't prohibit it by achila, then there's no Issur Bishul Ba'anah. So that would mean that it sounds like, according to the Rambam, there would be no Iser Chachomim, no Gzeres Chachomim Derabonon in the case of Basar Ov Becholov. Why? Because there's no Iser Torah as far as the Achil is concerned. So Mimele Chachomim not going to prohibit it Bebishol Ubehanon. However, the Bach writes that the Rambam would agree that there is a Gzeres Chachomim with regard to, just one second, I'm trying to figure out here the difference in Achila. According to the Rambam, was saying that in the case of Basar Tmeya, there's no Issa Drabon of Bishul Hanon. Now, what about Chai of the Oaf? Since there's no Issa Achila Minatol, according to Rabbi Akiva, therefore Bishul and Hanon would be Mutter, and there's no Gzeres Chachomim. Then he writes, Heichan Shalom Asra Torah Achila Lo Gazru Chachomim V'Bishul V'Hanon. And that seems to indicate that if you cook milk and chicken together, then according to the Rambam, there's no Iser Achila even Midrabbanan. That's what the Bach couldn't tolerate. But it says here in this footnote that the Bach went even a step further, and he says that for sure the Rabbanan made Gzera on Achilas. So we said that there's no Iser Bishul or Hana Mirabbanan if the Iser Achil itself is the Rabbanan. So in the case of Chai V'Of, the Iser Achila is the Rabbanan, and therefore there's not going to be a Gzera the Rabbanan on Bishul and Hana. And that's where the Bach disagrees. The Bach says that once the Rabbanan instituted a gzera on achila, for example, in the case of Chai V'Ov, then Memele instituted an Iser Bosh Bishol and Ano as well. So here are the two ways of understanding the Rambam Shita. One way of understanding the Rambam Shita is that only when there's an Iser Achila Doraisa, then the Rabbanan expanded to include Bishol and Ano. But in the case of Basar, Oaf, and Chaya, where the Iser Achila itself is only the Rabbanan, we're not going to go a step further and prohibit Bishol and Hana. That's one of opinion in the Rambam. That's before we get to the Bach. So if you want to cook milk with Chaya, or milk with chicken, then according to this first opinion in the Rambam, that would be Mutal Chachila. Even though the Achila would be Asur, Midrabbanan, but Bishol and Ano would be Mut, even L'chatchil without an Gzera Midrabbanan. Whereas the Bach understands that once the Rabbanan instituted Gzera of Achila, is Memela, they took the entire kit and caboodle, so to speak, and they included the Isur, Bishol, and Ano as well. Just one second. I don't know exactly how the Bach is going to fit into the language of the Rambam. So the Rambam seems to indicate that, as we saw in the Mishnah, Mutal Levashel, Mutal V'Hano, meaning even Midrabbanan there's no Issa Bishol Hano. Unless there's a distinction here, let me just think. No, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how the Bach fits into the language of the Rambam. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Omer, let's go back to our Mishnah. Chai of the Oaf, Eino min HaTorah, Shenemar Los Vashel, Gdiba Chalev, Imo. Shalosh Pa'amim. Like the Torah repeats itself three times, and it gives us three miyutim. So it says, let's say, Gdi is Prat L'Chaya, then it says, Gdi is Prat L'Oaf, and then it says, Gdi is the exclusion of Behemoth Tmeya. Now the truth is that we didn't have explicitly in the Tanakhama any mention of Chayav Yov. I mean, we assume that Behema Tahor includes Chayav Yov as well, and therefore the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. And that is the Shita, the Tosis, but we mentioned the Rosh in the Rif, and he would say, I think, that when the Tanakhama says Behema Tahora, it's referring specifically to Behema, to the exclusion of Chayav Yov, and there was never machlokas about this. Even the Tanakhama accepts the Shita of the Chachamim that we have a miut to exclude Oaf, we have a miut to exclude Chaya as well. In any event, according to Rabbi Akiva, it comes out that Chaya the Oaf would only be Osur Derabbana. Now you might ask, why did the Rabbana make this Gezerah? So he quotes the Rambam that since the Torah mentions Gedi and only mentions Gedi, people will come to the mistaken conclusion that there's nothing that's Osur other than Gedi. So the Rabbanan wanted to emphasize that Basa Behema is Osur, and therefore they said that all Basa is Osur, even Basa Chayav Yov. If they had left it on the Doraisa level, that Basa Chayav Yov would be Mutter, people might come to the conclusion that even Basa Behema is Mutter, because the Torah says Gedi, and only Gedi is Osur. Now, Rabbi Akiva has an extra pasuk to exclude Chaya, an extra pasuk to exclude Ov, and to exclude Behema Tmeya. The Gemara later on is going to bring a brice on the name of Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael that darshan the Turah de Pekra three times, one to Yisra Achila, one to Yisra Bishol, and one to Yisra Achana. And the Ramban in his commentary on the Torah says that there's no machlokas. Rabbi Yishmael is darshaning from the extra words Lo Savashel, and that's coming to include not just Bishol, but Achila and Ano as well. Rabbi Akiva is darshaning the extra word Gedi. And there's no machlokas. But the Mizrahi, in his super commentary on Rashi in Shmos Chav Gimel, he says that Rashi elsewhere brings the drush of Rabbi Yishmael, and that's in Shmos, but in Dvarim he brings the drush of Rabbi Akiva. And he says that that's typical of Rashi, that Rashi in certain places will mention, will comment based on one opinion and elsewhere based on another opinion. So it sounds like the way the Mizrahi understood it, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva are two different opinions. So that's something that we want to keep in mind. Now, why did the Torah have to exclude Chaya? So the Gemara is going to darshan later on that the word Gedi means all Behema Tahora, and they're all included under Gedi. And Rashi, his commentary on the Torah in Parshas Kisisa, says that when the drasha expands Gedi to include Behema, in this case Behema Tahora, it means not just Behema, but it means Kol Hayonkim. I guess you'd probably call it mammals, I'm not sure. But not even any animal that nurses its young. And Chaya is also included on Yonkim. So therefore, we really need a special miu to exclude Chaya. Don't tell me, well, what was the Hava miu that Chaya would be included under the Isra Vosa B'cholav? After all, the Torah says Gedi. But the answer is no. Gedi is just one example of all of a set of Behema Tahora, and Rashi interprets that they're all Yonkim. And a Chaya, although it's not a Behema, but nevertheless it has the status of a Yonek, and therefore will be included under this expansion of Gedi, because Kol Yonkim B'mashma. So now we need a special pasuk to be Mamayit Chaya. Now in the case of Ov, Ov is not included in this drasha because it's not a Yonek. So therefore, why do we need an exclusion for Ov? the oaf was never included in this Isur. I mean, the Torah says Gedi. Well, the Torah had to go out of its way to add another Gedi to exclude an oaf. I mean, what was the happening that oaf would be included in Gedi? Being Bishle B'chaya, I can justify it because it's a yonek, but oaf is not a yonek. So the Tzlach answers the following. He says, Ein ze limud. We made a mistake. This is not a drosh on the Yitura the Krov. This is as if there's an extra pasuk. But rather, this is called a limud mimashmos ha-pasuk. And the Gemara is saying that since it says Gedi, it doesn't include Oph. Oph is not included on the Gedi. Again, I'm a little bit bothered by this Tzlach because the indication here is that the Torah repeated Gedi shalosh pa'amin. And that was unnecessary. According to the Tzlach's take on it, it really isn't that there's an unnecessary word, Gedi. It's just that when the Torah says Gedi, it doesn't include Oph, because Oph is not in any way similar to Gedi. Now he adds the following point. He says, Af she'isr basa behema, she'bishlo b'chol v'reza isr al isr. Now why did we need an exclusion for basar tmeir? Let's say you have a pig and you cook the meat of the pig with milk. So you need an exclusion that it's not basar b'cholov. I'll tell you why it's not basar b'cholov. Because we have a principle called ein isur chalal isur. And since it was already asur, I don't have a hot meaning to add basar b'cholov on top of the isur achila. So he answers here, based on a Gemara later on in this parak, that Rabbi Akiva holds that isur chalal isur. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with the principle of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. And therefore we need a special miud as far as the Isur Basar B'Cholov in the case of Behemah Tmeah, because we would have said that Isur Chalal Isur. Now, by the way, we have, again, this is way down the line, but we have also a question of an Isur Kolel. Even if I hold Ein Isur Chalal Isur, but if the second Isur is Kolel, like here it includes Hanah, then we would apply the principle of Isur Chalal Isur. But that's going to be the famous Nekuda Nifla of the Rambam, that Hanah doesn't really add to Achila, it's just the primary Hanah is Achila. Now finally we get to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, he says when it says Lo Savashel Gedi, how do we know that Behema Tahora and Chaya are all included under Lo Savashel Gedi? So here we're going to need some sort of a yalfusa. He says, "Never lo sochlu kol nevela." The pasuk says that you're not allowed to eat nevela, an animal that died without shechita. Nemar, and then in the next part of that same pasuk it says, "Lo svashel gedib chalev imo." So we have a hekesh here between nevela and basar b'chol. Anything that is included in the Isur Nevela by definition is included in the Isur Bishul Basar B'Cholov, and that would include any kosher animal and a chaya as well, because the Nevela of any kosher animal, or for that matter the Nevela of a chaya, is included in under the law of Lo Soch L'Kol Nevela. However, Oaf, what about the status of Oaf? Oaf shall also be shum nevela. I would think that since Oaf is also included under the Isur Lo Soch L'Kol Nevela, if you don't shech the bird, is therefore Yehei Oso Levash HaMacholov. It should be no different than Chaya and all behemos that are included under the Isur Nevela. Talmud Lomar B'Chalev Imo. Yotza of she'elo chalev em. So this is the famous shita of Yossi Aglili, that there's no iser basar b'cholov in ov, but there is an iser basar b'cholov in chaya. And what's the difference between chaya and ov? And the answer is because chaya has yinika, chaya has chalev ha'em. But in the case of ov, there's no chalev ha'em, and therefore you're allowed to cook it with milk. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili to distinguish between Chaya and Oaf. So Basar Oaf, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're allowed to cook with Cholov. And it seems that even Midrabanan, you're allowed to cook with Cholov. We saw that already in the Shitas of Rambam, with the exception of the Bach, but without the Bach. Now there's a brisa later on that says the following, quote, "Bimkomo shel Rav Yossi Aglili hayu ochlim basar of b'cholov."
That's what I've got to remember.
That in Rav Yossi Aglili's Gegen over there in his location, they would eat basar of b'cholov, which means that there was no Yisud Rabbanan in basar of b'cholov. And that seems to be the language here of Rav Yossi Aglili Yotza of, which means that Oaf is completely excluded, even in Rabbanah. So let's just summarize the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. As far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, in the cases of Oaf and Chaya, there's no Issa Doraisa, but there is an Issa Derabbanan. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it would seem that Chaya is a Doraisa because it's included on the Nevela, and Oaf is Mutter even Midrabbanan in the case of Oaf. So we have Machlokas even with regard to Oaf. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili agree that Oaf is not included in Bas B'chol on a Doraisa level, but as far as the Derabbanan is concerned, Rabbi Akiva includes Oaf in the Issa Derabbanan, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is Mater even Midrabbanan. Now as far as Chaya is concerned, Rabbi Akiva holds it's Asa Midrabbanan because it's excluded from Gedi, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's Asa Midrabbanan because it's included on the Nevela. Now all this is true as far as Achila is concerned. Now as far as Bishul and Hanah is concerned, so then we get back to the two opinions in the Rambam. We had one opinion in the Rambam before the Bach, which seemed to indicate that that Mutal Avashel Mutar Banah, as far as Bishul and Hanah, there was no Gzera. So it means that Chaya and Oaf, which are not included Midaraisa, Nisra Achila, are included only Midrabbanan, but that's only as far as Achila is concerned, but you're allowed to be Mavashal, you're allowed to have Hanah from it. Which means that whenever the Torah did not prohibit Achila, the Rabbanan are not going to institute a Gzera of an Iser Bishul and an Iser Hanah. They will, however, include an Iser Achila, because let's say Achila is more profound of an Iser. Or alternatively, because they might come to think that Gedi is only Gedi. And the Bach says in the Rambam Shita that once they made Gzera on Achila in the cases of Chaya and Oaf, they extended that to include the Iser of Bishul and Hanah, and presumably the same logic would apply in the Bach to Behemah Tmeah, that there's no Iser Achilas Basar B'Cholov in the case of Behemah Tmeah on a Doraisa level. The Rabbanan are going to institute an Iser Basar B'Cholov Min Rabbanan, and that Iser Basar B'Cholov, according to the Bach, will extend to include Bishul and Hanah as well. Let's see the Gemara. Gemara says that it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to be mavashal behemah tahora with cholov minahani mili. How do we know that all behemah tahora is included? The Torah just says gedi lo savashal gedi b'chalev imo. What's the source for a ribui for all behemah? Now it seems that this Gemara's kasha minahani mili is only according to the Chachamim that mentioned that Behemah Tahorah is also min HaTorah, and they darshan a ribuy of Chaya v'Oaf from Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela, which we saw in Rabbi Yossi Aglili, namely that anything that's included in the Issa Nevela is included in Basar B'Cholov. So if that be the case, you're not sure exactly why the Gemara says minani mili. Yeah. You know, if you have the drasha of the hekesh between the Vela and the east of Basav Achov, they're both written in the same pasuk, then that's going to tell me that anything that's included in the Isser of Vela is included in the Isser of Bishul Basav Achol. Hence, I certainly have to include Basar Chaya and Basar Of as well. So why does Gemara say Minon Emili over here?
Looks like Rashi is aware of this. Rashi's coming.
And what was his answer?
I don't think he gave the answer, just the Gemara asked Minon Emili, did Koba Hema B'Mashma?
Right, and but we're asking, what do you mean kol be'im mashma? Of course kol be'im mashma, because it's a hekesh to the veil. And we had that in our Mishnah.
So,
right, he says, harei l'chora kol be'im tahora b'chlal. Sharehi asur mishum nevela. Madua gemara mechapeset makar. Why does Gemara need another additional source for be'im tahora if we already have the equation to nevela?
That's what from Rav Moshe Aglil, right?
Yeah, there's no reason to assume that the Chacham rejected Rabbi Yossi Aglili.
Why would you reject that?
Right. I mean, again, if you go like the Rosh holds that the Chachamim also agree to Rabbi Akiva that there's no Issa Basa B'cholav in Of and Chaya. But barring the Rosh, if we go with Shitas HaTosfos, the Chacham rejected Rabbi Akiva. They hold that there's an Issa Basa B'cholav in Chaya and Of as well. And that lechora is the derivation mentioned here by Rabbi Yossi Aglili from the Hekesh to Nevela. So why is Gemara saying Minani Mili? So he has here a quote from the Tosus of Rosh. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm not sure if I understand it. He says, Ilu ayinu omrim shekabonis haTorah b'tevas gedi dafka legedi izim v'lo lechol behema. So the Tosa Rush wants to say that one drush is built on the shoulders of another drush. Meaning, if our assumption is that Gedi is a reference exclusively to Gedi, and we don't have any basis or license to expand the scope of Gedi, then we would not accept this Hekesh to Nevela. And he says, "Ain right." Ain Lilbo Bihekish said. Again, I don't know exactly what the rules are. You have something called Mashmos Hakra, and you have something called Hekish. And what happens if there's a conflict between the two? The Mashmos Hakra is like Gedi means Dafka Gedi, until we get to Rabbi Lazar, who's going to introduce Yehuda into the picture. But if we assume Gedi is Gedi, then we're not going to accept this Hekesh to Nevela and expand it beyond Gedi, because Mashmos HaKra somehow trumps Hekesh. But Li'achar Shedorshim Gedi, that Gedi means all Behema, now we can say that we have a ribui of Chayav Yof. Do you follow? Because once Gedi means all Behema, then it makes sense to take this Hekesh straight across the board and include Chayav Yof, anything that's included in the Issa Nevela.
So therefore we have the basis for the question of the Minani Mili.
So again, so far what we're assuming is that the Minani Mili is on the Chachamim, and the Chacham hold the Chayav Yof is awesome in a Torah, and that's going to be derived from the Hekesh to Nevela. So then we got stuck. So why is Mori asking Minani Mili? The answer is, you can't just base yourself on the Hekesh. If the word Gedi is to be taken literally, exclusively Gedi, then we would not derive from this Hekesh to expand the Issa Bas B'chol to include Chayav Yof. Once we know, which is going to be Rabbi Loza's answer here in the Gemara, that the word Gedi means all Behema, then we could say that now we go back to the Pasuk that he, the Hekesh that equates the Iser of Los Vashon Gedi B'Chalevim with the Iser of Los Sochlu called Nevela, and we can assume that anything that's included in the Iser Achilus Nevela is included in the Iser Bishol Bas B'Chol, which means that it's not limited to Behema, but it includes Chayav Yof as well. That all that is based on the premise that the Minani Mili is going according to the Chachamim. However, he has one achron here, one of the mafarshim, the Namukei Agriv, and he writes that the Gemara's question is only according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva never accepted the hekesh that anything that's included in the veil is included in basar b'chalav, and he excludes, Rabbi Akiva excludes of chayavi of. So now the Gemara wants to know, well, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you're excluding chayavi of, maybe we should exclude even behema, because the Torah only mentions gindi. But Enel Chinami, according to the Shitas Chachomer of Yossi Aglili, they have a drasha gemura from this hekesh to the vela. We don't need a special drasha for behema tahora, because behema tahora, like chayavi of, is included in the vela. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Kra. So now we're talking about Yehudu sending back to Tamar Gidei Izin, and he wants to receive in return his collateral, you know, his staff and chosemer. So it says,
where did the parsha Shavua?
Right, parsha Shavua. And it says, Vayishlach Yehuda es Gidei Izin. The end of the pasuk is Lokachas Ha'eravon Miyad Ha'isha. So there was an agreement that in lieu of this service that she provided, he would pay her a gedia izim. So the Torah went out of its way to add the word izim, that extra descriptive adjective. And therefore, kan here, when it says gedia izim, is then it means that it's only goats. But hakol makom, anywhere else where the Torah did not add that adjective, the limiting it, and now we're turning to daf kuf yud gimel amid beis. Kol makom shenemar gidi stam. It doesn't say specifically izim. Like for example, in our pasuk vashel gidi is afilu parav rochel b'mashma. As we're going to expand it to include other kinds of behemoths. We're not going to limit it to Gidi. And we're going to include para of a Rachel, you know, cow and sheep. Because otherwise, if the word Gidi itself would mean everything, I'm sorry, if the word Gidi itself would mean Dafka Gidi, then why did the Pasuk by Yehuda have to call it Gidi Ezim? Gidi is a Gidi. Well, the answer is the Torah wants to tell you that the extra word Ezim is added here to tell you that if not, in the absence of the word Ezim, and you only have the word Gidi, then it includes even Parav Arachel. Now Rashi, in his commentary on the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, seems to indicate that the Gemara includes part of a Rachel as an interpretation of the word Gidi. That Gidi means what's called a Vlad Rach. And para v'rochel bi'odam ketanim nikroim b'shem Gidi. So the translation of the word Gidi into English, for example, according to Rashi al-Torah, is not goat, but it means a small small animal that's very soft, that's very what's the word, you know, that's not aggressive, you know, it's a rach, it's called in Hebrew. I don't have the exact English translation. And par of a rachel is called gidi. When the parah and the rachel, a young calf or a young sheep in their youth, the word to describe them is gidi. The Ibn Ezra doesn't accept this. The Ibn Ezra says the word Gidi means min ha'izim. And other minim are not called Gidi, so that a young calf or sheep would not be called Gidi. But the Chacham darshaning that when the word Gidi is used without any descriptive or restrictive adjective, that it refers to any behemoth. But that's not what the word Gidi means. Rashi says the word Gidi means even a young parav aracha. Now the Ibn Ezra adds another little point here. He says, why did the Torah write the word Gidi? After all, you're referring to any behemoth. So why did the Torah have to confuse me? And then with this drush of Gidi Ezin by Yehuda, we're going to derive that Gidi includes all animals. Why didn't the Torah just use the word behemoth or something? So he says that here you want to press the button on what's called activate a principle called Diver Akasim Behove. And what does that mean? That with regard to meat, meat needs a long process of cooking because it's very tough. And you would never, I shouldn't say never, but it's not generally done, it's not rugil, it's not the derech hadavar to be mavashel, basa v'hema in chol, in milk. And not only that, he says that, I don't know how he knows this, that if you cook basa v'hema in chol, it's not such a beautiful taste. However, gedi, which is something that's yovesh and cham, the derech is to be mevashalot b'chalov, and it gives it a good taste. So in any event, the main bottom line is that the word gedi, according to the Ibn Ezra, was chosen because dibra akosim behove, that's usually what you would be tempted to cook with milk. Whereas according to Rashi, the word gedi means a vlad rach, including a parav, a rachel, the odom ketan. Now the Gemara asks, v'nelef minei? Why don't we use this gzeirah shava between gediyei izin by Yehuda to gedi stam, and say that the Torah is revealing to us in the parash of Yehuda that the word gedi means izin, to the exclusion of any other species, any other kind of an animal. Thus, why do you set up gediyei izin to teach you that that's the exception to the rule, and gedi itself is the rule, which includes all behema? Why not say the opposite, that gediyei izin is the rule? That whenever you see the word gedi, the Torah is now telling you it's gediyei izin. And here the Gemara is going to apply the principle of shnei ksuvim abon kiyach, ksiv krach karina. We have another pasuk in the 27th chapter of Bereishis, when Rivka sends Yaakov to receive the brachas from Yitzchak, b'mirma, it says, v'eis oros gidiei gidoi ha'izim il bisha al yadav v'al chelkas savarav. And once again, the Torah calls it gidiei ha'izim. We'll see about the hay in a minute, right? But gidiei ha'izim. And gedi ha'izim ha'kol makom shenemar gedi stam afilu parav rachel b'mashma. So now what we have is a second time that the Torah went out of its way to tell us that the word gedi itself is expansive; it's a broader scope, and only when it qualifies, when the Torah qualifies by adding the word izim, only then is it specific to that species. So the Gemara says, "V'leilef minei adraba." Just the same way that we asked you, we objected in the case of Yehuda that maybe that was the binyan av to teach me that gediyim is only gediyizim. We are further strengthened by this pasuk in Rivka that gediyizim means it's afka gediyizim. So the Gemara answers, "Havelei shneksuma bam kechad v'chol shneksuma bam kechad ein malamdim." That whenever the Torah repeats itself twice, it's coming to tell you just the opposite. Derive the opposite conclusion. It's called Ein Malamdin. So it means that the Torah is not teaching you that the word Gedi Stam means Gedi Eizim, because the Torah was meant to teach you that. It would have taught you that once and not twice. The fact that the Torah had to repeat it twice is telling you that the exception to the rule is when it says Eizim. That's going to be the exception to the rule. But when it says gedi with stam without qualifying, then it means all behemah. Where it says anichal amandi omar ein molantin el amandi omar. This is Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Zayin on page shneksu abom kefir molantin maikal amemar. And the answer is trei mi utek sive izim ha izim. So we're going to add the extra hay that appears twice. In the parasha of Yehuda it says Veishlach Yehuda es gediyei ha'izim, and the parasha of Rivka it says Veyes oros gedoi ha'izim. So the extra hey, it doesn't say gediyei izim, but gediyei ha'izim, is coming to exclude that only in these two cases where the Torah says izim, then it restricts it to gediyei izim. But as far as Kol HaTorah Kula is concerned, the word Gedi means all behema the mashma. So this is where we want to stop.
Okay.
And Emirat Hashem will pick this up tomorrow.